Bloodstrand, Fauriar Trilogy, Book 1. Written by Chris Ould and read by Matt Addis.
Prelude. By the time Hedda Kalsa had paid for his coffee, Annika Mostensen was already outside, leaning on the wing of the patrol car to smoke a cigarette. She sipped her tea between drags and kept her back turned. It could not have been plainer that she did not want or expect Hedda to join her. Watching her through the window of the filling station shop, Hedda Kalsa decided he would stay inside. It was a little after 7 a.m., and in another half an hour they could head back to Torshavn, in silence, of course, and at last put an end to the shift. Nearly 8 hours was a long time to sit in the freezer. For want of anything better to do, he made a desultory survey of the postcards in a rack by the door, the ubiquitous puffins and sheep and brightly coloured houses against mountainous backdrops. He wondered if he should buy one and write something to Annika. Would she see it as a romantic and contrite gesture? Perhaps not in her current mood. Besides, he had no idea what he would write. If he was honest, Hera still didn't really see what all the fuss was about. It was only one photograph, after all. Annika looked good in it, and it wasn't like he'd been showing it round the entire station, only to Anna, although in retrospect that probably hadn't been wise. Still, a week should be enough time to get over it, surely. Outside, Annika Mostensen was unperturbed by the blustery damp wind or by the fact that she knew Hedda was still feeling unfairly done by. Good. Simply blanking him whenever they passed in the station was satisfying, but being partnered together for the Sunday-Monday night shift gave far more opportunity to make her feelings clear. After this, she'd let it go on for a couple more days, and then maybe, she'd reconsider.
Unit 6 receiving.
It was Tina, over the radio. Annika answered it before Harry could jump in.
Yes, Tina, we're here. Can you go to Chudnuruk, to the lay-by next to the radio mast on the headland? We've had a 112 call from a Jakob Nubor concerning an unconscious man in a car there. An ambulance is on its way, but it's coming from Lerwuk, so you're closer. Is there a crime? That's unknown at the moment.
Annika exhaled a final plume of smoke, then crushed out her cigarette.
Okay, we'll get there as soon as possible, she told Tina. Leaving now.
As she discarded her cup in the bin, Hedda was coming out of the shop.
I'll drive if you like, he called as he approached. Give you a break?
Annika shook her head but said nothing. Hedda gave an exasperated sigh.
For helvede, Annika.
But by then, Annika Mostensen was already getting into the driver's seat, leaving no room for discussion. A little under 10 minutes later, they pulled in at the lay-by on the eastern headland of Chunavuk Bay. It was high here, a 40-meter drop more or less straight down to the sea, and the hard-gusting wind rocked a rusty Toyota pickup parked on the gravel. Annika stopped the patrol car behind the Toyota and saw that it was empty. However, when she and Hedda got out of the car, there was a shout from a man 20 meters away. He was standing beside the open door of a dark blue BMW 5 Series, parked partway down a slope beneath the level of the road. What the man had shouted was lost on the stiff breeze, but his gesturing was clear enough, and Annika and Hedda headed towards him. The first thing Annika noted was that although the glass from the driver's side window lay in cubes on the gravel, the BMW showed no sign of a collision or accident. The second thing she saw was a white-haired figure slumped, apparently lifeless, over the car's steering wheel.
Harald Nubor, I'm Officer Mostensen, this is Officer Kalsa. Is this the casualty?
Ja,
Nubor nodded vigorously.
I can't tell what's wrong with him. He's unconscious.
Nubor was in his early 60s, wearing work clothes and a woolen hat. Now that the police officers had arrived, he moved away from the car with some relief, Annika thought.